Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I'm your host, Rob Oliver. And if you have not subscribed yet, I would encourage you, subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. We are out there. We're on all of them. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Google Podcasts. You can find us on Radio Public, Stitcher, Deezer, who knows where else. Anywhere that you're listening to a podcast, you can find us. And I'd encourage you to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Part of the reason why I'm encouraging you to subscribe is this. There are very cool guests that I get to have on here and that we get to learn from, very smart people. And today's episode is one of those special experiences. My guest today is Tom Crea. He is a leadership expert, a dedicated career Army officer, a Black Hawk helicopter pilot. Because of his proven skills, he was hand-selected to run the Army's leadership development program at two Boston colleges, where he and his team transformed college students into combat leaders. Today, he is a servant leadership ambassador, an author, a keynote speaker, and a leadership development coach. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, Rob. Thanks so much for having me.
Listen, first off, I want to say thank you so much for your service to our country. People like you are what has made our country free and great. So thank you for your service.
Oh, thanks, Rob. If I were young and healthy, I'd do it all over again. It was a thrill. I enjoyed it.
Appreciate it. So you're talking about leadership, and I want to just start off with that concept. Tell me, what is your take on leadership? What is leadership? How do people, are people born leaders or are leaders developed? How does that work?
Well, that's a good question. So when you ask me, are people born leaders or are they developed? You mentioned that in my intro that my last job was running the ROTC program, and it was at Northeastern University, and we also had Boston College. And I got to tell you, I got to see the students come in as freshmen and make their way through till graduation at senior. And there were times, I'll tell you, when I entered the program, I thought, you know, I was still of the predisposition that sometimes you just are born a leader. And there were some people, that some cadets that came into the program, and they just proved that they could do it. And it really is about attitude, whether you have the heart to want to, and I'll say this clearly, hopefully clearly, that to serve others. And when you have that spirit where you want to be able to not be the person who gets all the glory, not be the person who has to have the light shine upon you, but you're the person who wants to build other people up, develop them, make them look better, and they feel like they're part of a team, that's when I thought the leadership was just so exciting. And that's why I enjoyed my career so much, because I had those experiences and I really enjoyed those times when I was in leadership roles. And I would love to be able to do it all over again.
What you're saying sounds so counterintuitive, because I asked you about leadership and you said, serve others. How does that work? It sounds like the opposite of what we're typically used to hearing about.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, you know, but you could look at, and you know, when I speak, sometimes I show a slide of there are people who serve others, and there are people who are very influential. And if I tell you two names, both from India, you're going to say, wow, they were leaders and they were really servants, weren't they? And I can tell you they would be Mother Teresa and Mohandas Gandhi. So when you put those two images in your mind, it's like, yeah, man, they were very influential. And really what it is about the ability to influence. And you don't influence people aren't going to listen to what you want to say or do unless, you know, you build trust and you get their buy-in and they feel like you have their back and all those things. In order to do that, you got to be willing to serve others. And you're right. It could be counterintuitive, and it's not what's perhaps taught in various places, but it's certainly what I learned. And I say this when I talk, I honestly believe I learned to be a leader in the best leadership development culture in the world. And let me share with you one final thing on my long answer to your short question is our values, meaning the Army's values. It was an acronym, go figure. We had an acronym for everything.
Right.
And the acronym is leadership, LDRSHIP, loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. And that S in the middle, selfless service. Very, very important.
So you're talking about the fact that leaders are not, typically we think about people that like judge my leadership by how many people are following me. We talk about that, you know, building your tribe is a way of, with a podcast, I'm looking for how many people are listening to this. And it's actually the exact opposite, where the focus is, if I'm less focused on how many people I have listening to the podcast and more focused on giving anyone who listens high quality material, the rest of that takes care of itself, as long as the material is there, as long as I'm meeting their needs. And I think about this, you bring up Gandhi, and one of the stories that I've heard about him really tells the focus of where he's not thinking so much about himself, but he's thinking about someone else. He was getting onto a train, and as he was getting on, one of his shoes fell off. And someone said to him, like, how sad, you lost one of your shoes. What are you going to do with only one shoe? And he immediately responded by taking his shoe off and throwing it back towards where the other one was. And they said, why did you do that? He says, well, because one shoe does no good to me, but if someone finds two shoes together, maybe it will give them something to walk on for a little while. It's that focus where most of us are like, we mourn the shoe that we've lost. And for him, it says, okay, how can I use this experience to make the way to do something that will be of benefit to others? So tell me then, how do you become more of that, or have more of that awareness of what's going on? How do you change your mindset from it being about me to it being about others?
Well, you use the word awareness, and I would tell you that one of the things that we went through throughout my Army training and officer training was we'd go through these exercises, and they would give us feedback on our performance. And feedback's is critical. And I just would say to you that self-awareness is essential for any leader. You got to know who you are. And I love assessments, and I think any and all of them are good. And if you can get your hands on them, take advantage of them, and learn what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and what your blind spots. And I'll just quickly share that when you think of weaknesses and blind spots, look at it this way. So imagine, think back to biology, the optic nerve attaches to the back of the retina. And when you're driving and you're looking, you're about to cross the intersection, you look left and right before you cross that intersection. Why? Because you don't want to hit somebody. And why do you have to look left and right? Well, because there's a 45 degree blind spot off of our right front and our left front. And if we don't turn our heads, then that blind spot becomes a weakness. So same analogy, take that and apply it to yourself, to your business, to your leadership role. And I would say to you is, okay, so now learn what your blind spots are. And the difference between a blind spot and a weakness. And when I would ask this in when I was speaking, the answer I would share was this. A weakness is something that you don't know about. So imagine you didn't know about your optical blind spot. You wouldn't turn your head, and you'd probably hit pedestrians. A weakness is something you don't know about, or you're aware of it and you choose to ignore it. A blind spot, on the other hand, is something you are aware of and you take the corrective action to make sure it doesn't happen. Now, that was all a lead in because you just said one word that caused me to trigger to answer your question. Sorry for the long story here. So
no worries.
So how do you become a leader? You know, for me, it was going in. I was doing pretty well. If you're following me on LinkedIn, or if you were to follow me on LinkedIn, you're going to read a couple stories in the articles that I've written about humility. And here I am. I'm in there. I'm at the top of my class or my platoon. And after this first exercise, I have an experience that causes me to get knocked down a peg. And, you know, in hindsight, when I reflect on it, I made some mistakes. And so I learned some lessons. So I'm at the top of my platoon. At the end of our peer evaluations after that particular exercise, I drop from the top third to the middle third. And then we have another exercise about a month later. Conditions are just as bad or worse. And I make some more mistakes. Now I drop from the middle third to the bottom third. And this is at the very beginning of my Army career. And I am just got my tail between my legs. I'm just licking my wounds. And I have this revelation that, you know what, I'm just not as good as I thought I was. And I'll tell you what, that was a blessing, because as I went from my infantry training, which is where all that occurred, to flight school, I realized that, hey, you know what? There are a lot of people out there with a lot of abilities, and my job is now to be able to, as I was learning to be a leader, is not to be the best, but to be able to get everybody else to do their best. So that answer, the key to that, your question would be, how do you get to be a leader? Learn some humility would be a great place to start.
Wow. I'm thinking about what you're saying from the perspective of leadership is not only not about you, but it's about recognizing your own, as you've said, blind spots, your own areas of deficit, and trying to make sure that those are covered. I would imagine that that's something that had to be part of any strategy that you were doing during your Army experience, where if you are not aware of the dangers that are out there, it's a mission doomed to failure. Am I correct in stating that?
Yeah, I mean, when you see, I mean, first of all, the thing that you said that just really triggered me is leadership is not about you. No, it's not about you. It's never about you. I mean, think about it. The people who get put in leadership positions, let's look at it this way. Let's just say, I don't know if you're a listener and you're a person of faith or you're not a person of faith. There's a parable that maybe many of you have heard, talks about the parable of the talents, and essentially the parable of the talents, just sum it up like this, that the master gives these three stewards talents, and one of them doesn't make the best use of them, and the other two do. And at the end of upon his return, the master says, you know, he says, you know, well done, my good and faithful servant, to the two who actually use those talents. Now, take those talents and apply them to the talents that you've been given. You know, Rob, you've got different skills. You have different handicaps. I have different skills. I have different handicaps. And whatever talents you've been given, the way I look at it is, particularly if you're a person of faith or you believe in a higher purpose, that you are bound to actually serve society with the talents you've been given and do the best you can. So back to this whole leadership thing. If you're in a leadership role, the chances are you're there because you have been given talents. And if we get back to the whole concept of humility, it's not your job to prove how good you are. It's your job to build everybody up around you so that they can prove to you how good they are.
I love that. I mean, even for your faith concept, it's the idea that, you know, from a Christian perspective, you're looking at you were put here for a purpose, and you were given the abilities to fulfill that purpose. And the idea is to cultivate those abilities. But what you're talking about, it's even just outside of that. I think it's interesting in that humility perspective, I am not responsible for the genetics that I have. I didn't earn my genetic background. I didn't do anything. So many of the things that I come into life predisposed with, the abilities that I come in with, are all things that come not from me at all, but it's then about my ability to build on those and to expand those and to become more proficient at using them and build on my leadership skills. But that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. I'm wondering then, you're talking about the people around you. And as you're leading the people around you, it's not about what you do. I think you're talking about it's what they do and helping them to become more proficient at their jobs. So how does that show up in team building? It sounds like the leader is not doing all the work, but he's working to help the other people around him become better at the work they're doing. Am I right in that?
Well, yeah, let me kind of walk you through my first several years in the Army. You know, at first, my very first job, I'm a platoon leader. There are 23 people in the platoon. And, you know, I don't really know what it's like to be a leader. I've got a platoon sergeant who's got 10 years of experience and a warrant officer who's an instructor pilot who's got about the same amount. So they both have 10 years, and I am just out of the infantry school and flight school. And here I am, 18 months of experience and all that has to do with being in school. And I have to make this fork in the road decision. And the bottom line is, I'm the guy who's in charge and I had the authority, but because I didn't have the insight and the knowledge, I didn't have the power. You know, you've heard those things about power versus authority, you know, and I will point people there later. Matter of fact, I'll say it now. If you were to go and look at me on YouTube and just find the handle at Blackhawk Speaks, that's the number one video that I have on there. It's the difference between power and authority. And I explain that further there. But the deal there is, you know, power is really about your ability to influence. That's true whether you're in leadership, that's true whether you're in sales, whether you can influence. And as a young lieutenant, I had no ability to influence. And I had to be able to take the advice in this particular situation of somebody, and I didn't know what the right thing to do was, but I had to trust him, and I had to place my trust in that person. And, you know, the one thing about leadership is that, you know, if you want to be respected, you have to give respect. If you want to be trusted, you have to give trust. It always works. You have to be the one to initiate whatever it is you're trying to achieve. And I don't know if I got off on a tangent there, Rob, but you got me talking about my passion, so I'm on a roll.
Yeah, no worries. But what we're talking about is, at least what my initial question was about, is that team building concept. So you're talking about your leadership of other people. You've got the credentials, but you don't have the experience to back it up.
Right.
But then now, what we're talking about. You, in the pre-interview, you had talked about something that I found was kind of, again, counterintuitive, and that is about delegation.
Yeah. Let me get to that. So I know I got off on a tangent. So I did tell you that platoon story for a reason, and that was because at the very beginning, when you're your first-line supervisor, you're cutting your teeth, and you've got to be able to, again, show some humility and be able to trust the people around you. Well, as you get better and you get more confidence as a leader, now, when I was finally starting to be comfortable in my role, you know, because they say you go into a job, you know, a company pays to train you pretty much for the first couple of years. It's no different than the Army. So I'm getting trained as how to be a leader, and the non-commissioned officers are training me and teaching me. And I was not being arrogant. I had learned my lesson in my basic course, and I was continuing to be humble. And because of that, they were willing to teach me. Go figure. When you show your vulnerability, people will reach out to you and want to help you more. That's just human nature, and they'll treat you just like you would want to be treated. So what had happened after that, as I was growing and becoming more competent in my technical and tactical skills, as they would say, I now had the ability to train and coach people. And I found that when I got into my first command position, and I was in it for 2 years, and essentially I had 50 different people, and we were responsible for 13 different helicopters. And in order to make that unit do all the things it needed to do, there was no way that I could be the hero, the one who had the ability to do things. And in a previous assignment, I had learned how to delegate. And the way you do that is, you know, and one of the ways I learned is, if you haven't ever heard of Ken Blanchard and the 1 Minute Manager, I highly recommend that book. And I would encourage you even more so to read his follow-up book, Leadership and the 1 Minute Manager. And in that book, I learned about situational awareness. And as I was cutting my teeth as a leader, and I'm going through the situational awareness model, you go from directing somebody who's very new to, you know, you're coaching them because they're getting a little more confidence. And now that they've got things going a little more, you're being supportive. And finally, when you've coached them to the point where, hey, boss, I don't need your help anymore, then you can delegate. It's hands off. That is the most freeing thing any leader can experience. But guess what? You got to do the work. That means you've got to spend the time to develop them. And before you can get to the point where you can develop them, you've got to earn their trust that, hey, you're looking out for my best interests. I see you as somebody who cares about me. I believe that you want to see me learn and grow. You're treating me with dignity and respect. I'll be open to what you have to say. And when you do that, then things become so much easier. So...
Right. So talk to me then about that process of delegation. You're building your trust with them. You're being vulnerable. I think what you're talking about that struck me in that is you don't have to be perfect to be a leader, because None of us are perfect. And sometimes that's what causes some self-doubt or whatever it is that you're thinking. The people that I see in leadership positions don't ever make mistakes, and they don't have any deficits. They're just perfect. And they always know what to do, and they always do the right thing. But you're talking about that humility and that vulnerability to say, I'm not perfect. And then because of that, people are a little bit more willing to trust you. How do you, beyond just what you're talking about, developing the rapport with people, developing that, how do you begin then to recognize the skills that they have and cultivate or strengthen the abilities that they have to really assemble a quality team?
Okay, well, you said a couple of things. Let me answer your question first, and I want to get back to something else you said. So how do you recognize those things? Well, part of it is in some cases, you've been through those things already, either directly or you observe. So I'll give you the case of now I'm a troop commander or a company commander, and I have three platoon leaders who report to me, plus I have an aviation safety officer and an instructor pilot, and they all report to me. Now, can I do their jobs of the technical people, the safety officer or the instructor pilot as well as they can? Absolutely not. Do I understand what they're supposed to do? I do, because I've been in the service for 3 years now. I've been flying helicopters. I get it. I'll never be as good as them, but I can at least monitor what they're doing and spot check. And, you know, if you ever heard the MBWA, management by walking around, you know, I probably did the least amount of work when I was in my command positions, because I spent most of my time walking around, checking to see what people were doing. And in the case, like say the safety officer, I would go on the flight line and I would check and see whether or not things were taken care of and everything was, no debris was there and all the things that were safety related. And then in the case of the platoon leaders, you know, my job was to develop them to take my place because hey, we're in a army situation and guess what? Things happen in combat. And if I were to, you know, fall on the battlefield, one of them needed to step up and replace me. So my job was to be able to train them to be able to take my place. And so the spot checking with them was a little more in depth. And I would go around and check things. There's a logbook for each of the aircraft, manage like a manual. You know, this is the history of all the repairs, and these are the parts, and these are the parts that are needed, and this is something's not working properly. And I would go through these exercises weekly with my platoon leaders. The three of us would sit in a room, and I would sharpshoot them. Now, I would sharpshoot them, and I say that with the kind of tongue-in-cheek thing. You know, at first, the three of them didn't like it, because before we ever had those meetings, I would look at the logbooks, and I would know exactly what was right and wrong. And because I had more experience, I had the answers. And as I would ask them the questions, they didn't have the answers at first. And as they saw that what I was doing, they got better and better, and they were able to give me the answers, which guess what that did for me? That freed up my time to be able to apply it to where, let's say, someplace else in the unit needed more of my attention. Now, one of the things you said at the before you asked me that question, and I just have to, I'm compelled to comment on it. You said you don't need to be perfect. Because the comment I had made as a leader, and absolutely, you know what? The more you're imperfect, the more that your team sees that you're imperfect, it gives them the freedom to be able to openly share what's right or wrong. When you're around somebody who's got all the answers and is perfect, you're less willing to say, hey, these are the faults, or this is something we can improve, because those persons don't usually want to listen to what you have to say. Now, on the other hand, if you're a humble leader, you're not perfect, you're willing to say, yeah, I made a mistake, then you've got the people on your team with conviction. They believe that they can share information freely in a respectful way, of course. And now what you've done is you've created a positive learning environment.
You're talking about your meeting with your three platoon leaders, and then you're having a conversation with them and you're asking them questions, but it's not your goal, even though you have the answers, your goal is not to show them I have the answers and you don't have the answers, so I'm better than you, I'm smarter than you, but it's to teach them how to find those answers and make sure that they have the information that they need in order to do their job correctly. That's what I'm understanding from what you explained to me. Am I understanding it right?
Exactly.
Okay. Because that's, it's not about proving your superiority. It's about helping your team and helping your team members to learn what is expected of them from their job and to be able to perform their job up to the expectations that you have.
Yeah, let me just give you a quick anecdote there, and sure. I'll make this very quick. So of those three platoon leaders, you know, two of them got out of the service, one as a major, one as, I think, a captain, and the third one went on to be a full colonel. I retired as a lieutenant colonel, which is one step lower than that, and he went on to command an aviation battalion and aviation brigade. So in a sense, you could say the student, how's that expression go? The student succeeded or exceeded the master?
Yeah, the student exceeded the master, which is amazing. Yeah.
So I'll tell you, if you're, you know, and if I would have gone higher, that would have been fine too. But if you're in a service mindset and you're going to serve the people, you want them to do the best you can. I mean, it's no different. And I don't want this to be perceived the wrong way, but it's like your family. It's like you're the parent and you're the boss. And if you treat everybody like you would, that you want everybody in your family to do well, then you've got the skills, then you've got the right approach and the mindset and attitude to want to be able to help others learn and grow as well.
Wasn't the slogan, the recruiting slogan a couple years ago was be all that you can be. And the idea is that the people who are leading you are going to help you develop into your fullest potential. And so that's ultimately what you're looking at, is the leadership helps those coming along behind them to fully develop. Tom, you have been fantastic. I appreciate the insights that you've provided. You have established that you are smart. I have definitely learned from you. It is time for what we call the three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready?
I am ready. Go ahead.
So, what is the most unusual place that you've ever fallen asleep?
Oh, geez, this is embarrassing. I was so tired after an exercise when I was a cadet. I came in to use the restroom. I'll let you use your imagination. I was sitting down, and that's the most embarrassing place I ever fell asleep.
Wow.
Nobody's ever asked me that question, Rob.
There you go. Well, hey, you know what? That is the ultimate invulnerability and the ultimate into insight into who you are as a person. What was the first concert that you ever attended?
Supertramp at the Buffalo Memorial Auditorium.
Okay, and last question, when the weather warms up and you can get outside and grill, what is going to be on your grill?
Well, the first thing is the easy one, hamburgers, cheeseburgers. Kids love those.
Fantastic. And so who are the kids that are going to be eating the hamburgers and cheeseburgers with you?
Well, my sons, Gabe and Dominic. Our sons, Gabe and Dominic.
Fantastic. Tom, thank you so much for being on the show. Listen, if people want to learn more about you or get more information from you, how can they do that?
Well, the company that I run is called Blackhawk Leadership Development, and you can find me. I speak and I coach, as Rob said in the beginning of the intro, simply at blackhawkspeaks.com or blackhawkcoach.com. And one of the things you had asked me is whether or not I have anything to offer your guests, and I'm happy to do that. And because I'm transitioning that information between those two websites, I would ask you to do this. Go to my contact page. Send me a message. I've got tip sheets. We talked about self-awareness in the beginning. I've got tip sheets and an ebook and an assessment that you could take for free. If you want a chapter of my book, you can have that. Or I could point you to the videos that I have. Or if you can go to my YouTube channel, which is simply, again, at Blackhawk Speaks, which is my handle on YouTube and in Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn.
Sounds wonderful. So, Tom, what I'm going to do is I will put a link to both websites there. I'll also put a link in there to your YouTube channel, to your Twitter, and so people can get in touch with you. You have been fantastic. I appreciate you being on the show. A reminder for all of those listening, this has been Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver. And again, I'll encourage you, follow us on Twitter, Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. It is at LFSP Podcast, as in Learning from Smart People Podcast. And we'd love to hear from you there. Follow us and get all the information, subscribe, and you can catch every episode. Thanks again for listening. I will remind you that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.